God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his finger or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We just pause for a moment and think about last week, just on this program. I played a bit of audio of a guy that I refer to as a spokesliar for the State Department. John Kirby's his name, and I prayed for him, and I continue to pray for him. The piece of audio we played was John Kirby reminding us that it's just a few servicemen who were injured in a bombing, just a few, being treated for traumatic brain injuries, just a few. I said at the time, it won't continue to be just a few. And so now there are three men who are dead, killed in their sleep. They were doing what they chose to do with their lives. They were guarding us. That's what they believed. No doubt, that's what they believed. In the past 3 years, I've talked to too many American servicemen who believed that. And there are people serving right now who believe that. And they need to be able to survive and to do what they need to do, to follow the orders they're given. But I've talked to far too many men who served in these theaters to say, this isn't about terrorism. These are not liberals. They're not people who reflectively anti-war. They haven't changed their political leanings at all. They're conservative men to a person. They're Christian men. And they're coming and saying, this stopped being about terrorism about 15 years ago. It's about something else. What? No, don't know. But the sense among them is that it's, well, people making money. That sounds like the statement of a leftist, doesn't it? Or someone who's just reflexively anti-war. They're uncomfortable words for me to say. And of course, I am deeply grateful for the men who signed up to go do that because this is what they believe. And perhaps they're right. Perhaps it is a war on terror. Perhaps my friends are wrong, all of them, who now take this view. I do pray for the souls of the fallen. I pray for their families without reservation. I have a true hole in my heart, given what I lost in this past 2 weeks in terms of friends, one in particular. The war, well, how many? There's the war at the border. The people who run Joe Biden are waging a war against Texas. There are people on the left who have said, this is our Fort Sumter. Send the feds down to Texas. Let's get to fighting. You know, there was a time where in Iowa, there was a revolt, a cow revolt. This happened years and years and years ago, where government was coming along to ranches and killing cows that had tuberculosis and not fully recompensing the ranchers. And they didn't like that. They weren't getting fully paid back for their cows. So they began to revolt. The National Guard was called in. Machine guns placed in town. Soldiers with bayonets. Except it never came to pass that they fired on one another. They knew each other. They'd gone to school together. This talk, this blather, is a sign of a deeply, deeply troubled nation. We know that. I was thinking this morning about Exodus 17, verse 11 through 13. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hand, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. We are told that we're being led by Joe Biden. It's not just people holding up his hands. It's people running this behind the scenes, who Who? Don't know. Nor do you. I think it's Barack Obama's people, but that's something I think. I just know it's not him. This is a vital thing to understand going into warfare. Who's leading us? And why? What's particularly striking to me, as I think again of the Word of God, Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. People are mourning our nation and the direction she's being led. And by whom? The real thing about this attack is that you paid for it. You wrote the checks for the drones. We're writing checks to Israel and we're writing checks to Hamas. We've given Iran billions of dollars. Barack Hussein Obama did that with pallets of cash at midnight. Not in American denominations, because he was trying to avoid breaking a law that he himself had to recertify twice as president that said we can't have a banking relationship with Iran. He had no business giving them that money. It was a bribe. But for what? This is a sign of deep wickedness that we've now lost three Americans in a war that we're not officially fighting, but we're funding both sides. It's deeply, deeply aberrant. We could begin to calculate the cost, if that wasn't so cold. How much is an American life worth? I will always shudder when I think about Mitch McConnell's words about Ukraine, that it's good for our manufacturing base. He didn't see a downside to the war. That is a statement of a fallen man. The downside to the war? Not just three American service members, those who were injured, the dead people on both sides, no downside? It's possible to become so in the world, so of the world, that you can no longer have any sense for the love God has for his people. No downside? I imagine that the families of the fallen soldiers killed this past couple days would differ. And they might ask, what for? I have all the respect in the world for our special relationship with the Israeli people. And I don't know about Israel, the country, given that they have once again turned their face from God. And I get confused on that topic. Is it the Israeli people, the Jewish people we're to stand with? But the Bible seems clear. It's Israel. But does standing with them mean affirming? They're leaning over to the left and they're taking orders from the sexual left? And is that what it means? Of course, we could say the same of our country and we can all look for the logs sticking out of our eyes. I'm sure mine is huge, probably bumping into a wall as I speak. It's an uncomfortable thing for me to say I don't want American troops over there at all. I want them gone because I don't know who's leading them, because we're funding both sides. This cannot be within the will of God to pay for both sides of a war. I cannot imagine God smiles upon that. The war at home, the war on the border. Can we simply state a fact that this is treason? It is treason to refuse to enforce the Constitution. It's not in question. The federal government shall protect the states from invasion. Not can if they want to, not might if they get around to it. The federal government shall protect the states from invasion. The state of Texas has been overrun. When their governor decided, Governor Abbott, to do what a lot of us in conservative media have been saying for many, many years, is just send the people to the blue states, to the blue cities. When he began to do that, you began to see those cities collapse under that weight that Texas was carrying. And the politics have shifted. Even Mitch McConnell, who is fantastically in favor of open borders, he recently said, apparently, that the politics have changed. So now he is wanting to talk tough on the border that he's sponsored being open for years. It's treason for the federal government to not only refuse to enforce the Constitution, but to hinder Texas doing it. Find me the difference in the federal government going down to Texas to take down razor wire or buoys in the middle of the Rio Grande River, stopping people from making that dangerous trip. Find me the difference between that and the federal government showing up at a Texas state penitentiary and opening the doors and letting the inmates out. What exactly is the difference? Oh, those inmates broke the law. They're in prison. So do illegal immigrants coming across the border. I'll tell you this, we know who the prisoners are. We don't know who's coming across the border. One of the things you'll find on the border is dropped passports and IDs because some people don't want to be known. So 25 states, I think it is now, stand with Texas. There are other states sending some of their National Guard, some of their cops down to the border. Of course, the truckers have gone down there. You've heard about that. One of the people that the party, namely George P. Bush, and the what I call professional Republicans, a guy they tried to get out of the way, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, the Attorney General who says that the election was stolen. I think it was too. I can't prove it. I know it was rigged. Maybe that's why they took him out, or tried to. They failed. They did not convict in impeachment, not even close. It was, in fact, a joke of a trial. Or maybe it was because Paxton is prepared to go after pharma, and he is, for what they've done to people with the COVID injections. Or maybe it's this, that he's actually serious about seeing the border enforced. This is from his personal Twitter account. It mirrors something he said on his official account. Today, I denied the Biden administration's unfounded requests and issued counterdemands. By February 15th, DHS must supply the official plat, maps, and deeds demonstrating the precise parcels to which they claim ownership, an explanation of how Texas is preventing access to those specific parcels, documentation showing that Eagle Pass or Texas ever granted permission for DHS to erect infrastructure that interferes with border security, and proof of Congress empowering DHS to turn a Texas park into an unofficial and illegal port of entry. If the federal government's going to make such claims, it must provide proof. Presumably because you have no meaningful response to our letter, your latest letter abandons earlier factual assertions, asserts new ones, and supplies even less of a legal basis for your demand. Once again, I respectfully suggest that any time you spend suing Texas should be redirected towards enforcing the immigration laws Congress already has in the books. As I've said before, this office will continue to defend Texas's effort to protect its southern border against every effort by the Biden administration to undermine the state's constitutional right of self-defense. Again, these are not questionable facts. This is what the Constitution says, that the federal government shall protect the states against invasion. If the Mockingbird media, the dominant old school, old line media, simply put an image of the Constitution's demands that the federal government protect the states against invasion, what do you think would happen to the victims of the Mockingbird media? If they actually saw the words, this when two-thirds of America believes that the nation is being invaded. But then again, how can they do that when they're busy dealing with bankruptcies like the Los Angeles Times has gone through? Let's talk about that from a bigger perspective, if we could. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View, supporting AFR. It's important. When I talk about the downfall of the LA Times, I don't do that with a lot of glee. It's vital that we have an independent press, but we don't. And I'll also tell you, last week, we lost our first major advertiser on our podcast. They've been with us for 2.5 years. Big economic hit to us. God's been so good to us, we'll survive it. He's going to continue to bless our podcast. In fact, I'm right now sitting in our television studio that we built with his money. We've moved our podcast to half video. It's a strange thing to see yourself on a TV set. Like, I've never wanted to be on TV, and here I am sitting in the studio. You can check that out, by the way, at thetoddhermanshow.com. And the video subscription, the video is on subscription. The audio is free, always will be. It's really about the Word of God. So I know the pain. Right? This advertiser just wasn't getting results any longer from anybody. It's a tough time in the business they do, and they're great at it. I hope they come back. So as the Los Angeles Times falls apart and effectively bankrupt, I don't look at this with glee because there are reporters who work there who have families, and they haven't been blessed with God to have a business that continues to provide a great, solid income for their families. They're just out of work, but they caused it themselves. And that's a disappointing thing for them to hear, and it's true. Now, reporters don't run newspapers, but they contribute to them. Here's some of the ways that they've contributed to this. Let me ask you this question. What relationship did the judge in this case with E. Jean Carroll? This was the woman who accused President Trump of raping her in a dressing room in a retail store 20 years ago. The law was changed in New York so that she could bring these charges. They had otherwise would have expired her ability to do that. She has offered no proof. At various times, she says she doesn't remember the date it occurred. After E. Jean Carroll was supposedly raped by President Trump, she expressed apparently on Twitter that her favorite TV show was The Apprentice, in which President Trump starred. She said, as I recall, she couldn't get enough of the program. She said some other things about sexual activity that I can't repeat here. In good conscience, I can only tell you that she said she learned some important things from dogs. I'm not trying to be gross. I was saying what she apparently said on social media. President Trump wasn't convicted of raping her. He was convicted of libel. And he's going to have to pay $83 million in case this, unless this case is reversed. But I asked that question, Robert Kaplan. What's his relationship to the lawyer for E. Jean Carroll? He's her mentor. He spent more than 24 years. She was at his firm for 24 years. Paul, Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison, where Judge Kaplan was a partner. He was her mentor and employer. And he didn't bother to disclose that fact. This should have been the story going into the trial. And a functional media would have done that. But we no longer have a functional media. And I mean this in the truest sense of the phrase. Is it possible that they've been mass hypnotized? Well, it is possible for people to be mass hypnotized when the stakes they perceive are so high. When you don't have the Word of God on which you rely, when that is not the rock, the solid foundation on which you stand, you can fall for nearly anything, such as, it's so important that we rid the world of orange man bad that any and all outcomes, anything that gets it done is okay. E. Jean Carroll had also said at one point that rape is sexy. That should have drawn alarms. Now, did President Trump rape her in that retail store? I don't know. I frankly doubt it, because there's something else that's, again, not a topic of conversation in the Mockingbird media. She is a fanatic for a television show, a procedural crime drama. And it happens that this exact thing that she claims happened to her happened in that show almost to a T. She'd also forgotten, under deposition, that there were rich people who hate President Trump but are trying to get him stricken from the ballot who backed her lawsuit. She forgot to state that in her deposition. So how does this affect the or communicate the downfall of the Los Angeles Times? Because people don't trust the media, and they shouldn't. Trust but verify? No. How about verify and examine? When I do my podcast, I provide show notes. For every episode, there are show notes. It's sort of like the footnotes to the program. So if I'm referring to something, you can click a link and say, okay, so you're basing it on this. And I get great emails about that sometimes. Like, hey, I don't know if you read the whole article, but there's this other countervailing point of view. I love stuff like that. I love being challenged. The Mockingbird media in America, if they ever want to be respected again, they're going to have to adopt some of these tactics. Transparency in a time like this is key. This is a headline from the Los Angeles Times that contributed to their downfall. White drivers are polluting the air breathed by LA's people of color. Stinking white people driving to work, polluting the air breathed by LA's people of color. But the people of color, of course, are not polluting the air breathed by white people. Because people of color, when they drive their cars, it's virtuous. You can't stand that long on lies like this. This is another example. And this isn't just about the LA Times. It's about the selective focus of the Mockingbird media. And when I say that phrase, I mean it. They take orders and follow those orders to a T. There's things that must not be reported. For instance, there used to be an agreement. I think this has been lifted in the past 5 or 6 years because it's good TV, but there used to be an agreement among the big network television stations, that they would not report on the defensive use of handguns. They would not report when an American citizen or someone in America used their gun lawfully to defend their lives because they felt it could drive people towards acts of vigilantism. Did you hear about the shooting in Edmonton City Hall in Canada? Another tragic case of an active shooter with a twist. This 28-year-old man, apparently named Bizani Savar, was an activist, pro-Hamas left-wing extremist. Happened last Tuesday morning. 28-year-old security guard now faces 6 charges, including arson, explosives, discharging a firearm. And he was doing this, apparently, to bring attention to the fight against Hamas. He defends Hamas. That attempt in Canada, which is a gun-free country, we're told, has not made the national media in Canada. It's not just the United States that is creating this selective fact base, from which we can't have a united country with a selective fact base. So the Los Angeles Times reporter's out of work. I can't say I get it, because of course I can't know your individual financial circumstances, but I know what it's like to lose a big advertiser, big supporter. It just happened to me. In my case, I lean into the Word of God. I look at the promises He's already fulfilled. But I also look at the selective, again, storytelling from the Mockingbird media. You heard about the Ohio Senate overrode the hapless governor's there, supposed Republican. He vetoed a bill to ban the mutilation of gender-confused children, chemical and surgical mutilation. How many kids have been mutilated prior to the Mockingbird media even admitting this happened or even acknowledging there was such a thing? In America, it's going to be thousands upon thousands. There's this. The CDC has recently put out an updated immunization schedule for kids. It's up to 90 shots for children, over 100 for adults. The ingredients in a lot of these so-called vaccines are poison. But they're in very, very small amounts, we're told. And yet countries without mass vaccination schedules, you know what they don't have? Autism. You know who else doesn't? The Amish. Maybe it's just that they drink raw milk, which is illegal, but Frosted Flakes are not. There is an attack coming against your ability to grow food. You can call me an exaggerator, a fearmonger. I don't intend to be any of that. I simply look at headlines like this. Carbon footprint of homegrown foods, 5 times greater than those grown conventionally. And A, I laugh because what's more conventional than a home garden? B, I grimace because that's the same setup they've used to con states like California into banning gas-powered cars. Oh, incidentally, a side note in California, because all the new cars purchased there are going to have to be electric, a guy who passed a bill to make it possible for men to carry out their perverse sexual desires in the bodies of children, this guy named Scott Wiener, a state senator, he's now sponsoring a bill to force you to have a speed governor on your car so the state can decide how fast you can go and when. I call these behaviors kill shoots, forcing people into one conclusion only. In the case of food, it's that we all need to get our food from factories. So they're patented foods, not the manna God provides. There really is an effort to seize God's manna by attacking family farms. Here's climate grifter John Kerry telegraphing his intent to go after farmers.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world. Depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat. And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive. Why do we have to keep 1.5 degrees alive? Because scientists, as a basis of physics and mathematics, not ideology and politics or party labels or anything else, as a matter of physics and mathematics and some biology and chemistry have told us, these are the consequences.
It's a fascinating thing that he is still saying this when he's been wrong about everything. So has Al Gore about everything. There's also this fact, that same gas, carbon dioxide that they say we must go to net zero, is the same gas they are secreting in pipelines and storing underground to use on their own. And they're stealing farmland to do it, or attempting to, in the middle of our country, stealing farmland for carbon dioxide pipelines to sequester the carbon dioxide underground to make things with, such as turbo diesel, to make proteins from it, to pipe it into the greenhouses that will make the patented fake foods Bill Gates and company intend to have be our only option for proteins. The protein is the building block of our bodies, the core nutrient. The kill shoot behavior is so very clear, it's frustrating sometimes to not be able to sufficiently communicate it. Oh, maybe this will do it. Maybe if people are going to get outraged or concerned or informed or get to their state legislators and say, outlaw carbon dioxide sequestering in our states, if it involves stealing people's farmland, maybe this will do it. See, it's not simply farms, family farms, that technocrats are attacking. No, it's worse. They want our coffee.
We'll be having our coffee before the session, and you raised the coffee example. I'd love just to give you the chance to expand on that.
Basically, the coffee that we all drink emits between 15 and 20 tons of CO2 per ton of coffee. So we should all know that this is every time we drink coffee, we are basically putting CO2 into the atmosphere. One of the reasons is because most of the coffee plantation or most of the coffee is produced through monoculture, and monoculture is also affected by climate change. The quality of these nature assets is deteriorating quite rapidly.
When we exhale, We put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. I'll say this until the good Lord calls me home. There's a reason that food supply expanded exponentially during the Renaissance, because the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere did, because it's what plants consume. We began this discussion with the Los Angeles Times, nearly bankrupt, firing a bunch of reporters. It's painful for them. I know what that's like. I wonder what would have happened if they would have just told even part of a balanced story on this, so that more people could turn to them and trust them. When you can explain a thing given a meme, the thing is either really, really, really easy, or the meme is very brilliant. There's a meme on social media right now that is a picture of a reporter sitting outside the Los Angeles Times building. It's kind of a cruel meme, and yet it's kind of a spot-on meme. It's not really a report, of course. It's just a stock picture. But the sign he's holding says, "We'll call you a racist for food." And we go right back to that headline from the Los Angeles Times. White drivers are polluting the air breathed by LA's people of color, and compare it to carbon footprint of homegrown foods, 5 times greater than those grown conventionally. And I would just say to the people in the media, if you want to rescue your institution, starts by finding some fact base. I suggest the Word of God. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll continue. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, a couple things we do towards the last segments of this radio program. By the way, if you want a little radio inside lingo, it's called a benchmark. It's something you do every day or at a specific time. It's called the Tower of Babbling. And we'll get to that. We'll also wrap up the show with a personal observation. And I do that because I want you to know a little bit about me, maybe a lot about me. Not because I really think I'm that interesting. I don't. Because it's a fair trade. You spend such amount of time with us. We're so grateful for that. I feel like it's a fair trade. You should know a little bit about the rodeo clown who sits behind the microphone. So that's why we wrap the show up that way. We've been talking about the media and this downfall of the Los Angeles Times and the decision the media has made to be water carriers for what I would refer to as the regime or the party. There's certain topics they won't talk about or discuss. We started the show recognizing and praying for the servicemen who've been killed, their families, and pointing out my belief that while the people who run Joe Biden are busy fighting the war on the Texas border, they're funding both sides of the war with Hamas and Israel, and they've funded Iran. It's a cluster, and we cannot be involved in it. I want our troops out of this. Or if we're going to go and show Iran that you're not going to get to do this, and God forgive me for saying it, then go full in, not with troops. Just blow up a bunch of stuff. We have the capability to do this. I hate saying it, because there's an incredible cost to this of human life. And Jesus wept. But there is that calculus sometimes that you want to stop a thing. We can't afford, my judgment, I've never served. So far be it for me to make the final call on this. I'm not trying to do that, but no, when the corruption's this thick, I don't think we want anything to do with being in those theaters. Case in point, you remember the riots of 2020? Yeah, particularly those in the West Coast where Antifa, which was a group we were told was an idea. That's what the left said. Oh, they're an idea. They're not people. It's just an idea. It's not an organization. The Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa protesters who participated in the riots in 2020 are going to receive another $10 million from Seattle. Another $10 million. Oh, was there more? Yeah. All in, it might get up to $1 billion. How could I say that? Well, there's the incredible Seattle real estate they gave them. They gave them a decommissioned firehouse. And Seattle real estate, despite the downfall of the city, is still incredibly expensive. Contrast and compare. 83-year-old grandmas who walked through the Capitol and are fighting cancer have gone to jail because of January 6th. People who burned down parts of a city, attacked cops, seized a police station and an entire area, a six-block area of Seattle for 6 weeks, get another $10 million. I don't think we can afford a war of choice when these are the people who are bossing the country. Now to the benchmark. On this program, in the last segment, one of the things we do is thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other... For example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, we... I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill anyway.
The Tower of Babylon.
In 2007, a reporter asked then-Senator Joe Biden if, as president, he would allow sanctuary cities to remain.
Would you allow these cities to ignore the federal law regarding the reporting of illegal immigrants and, in fact, provide sanctuary to these immigrants?
The reason the cities ignore the federal law is the fact that there is no funding at the federal level to provide for the kind of enforcement at a federal level you need. Pick up the New York Times today. There's a city not far across the river from my state that imposed a similar sanctions. And what they found out is, as a consequence of that, their city went in the dumps, in the dumpster. Stores started closing. Everything started to happen. And they changed the policy. Part of the problem is you have to have a federal government that can enforce laws. This administration has been fundamentally derelict in not funding any of the requirements that are needed to even enforce the existing law.
So, Senator Biden, yes or no, would you allow the cities to ignore the federal law?
No.
That was 2007, and a lot's changed since then. Since then, Joe Biden's been told, no, we're going to do this. Someone told him. The biggest question with the Biden regime is this: who is paying him to do this? Who has bribed him through Hunter and his brothers? What do they have on him? That's the operative question. Am I bearing false witness? No. I'm guessing. But minus any other option, what exactly would cause this? Ideology? It's a flawed understanding. No. It's far too purposeful. The turning point was far too easy to see. That's the first of three sound bites in our Tower Babbling segment, where we show that God does place the supposedly wise way up high so we can all admire human wisdom in all its glory. Of course, the real wisdom's with God. A spokeslayer for the State Department was unaware that Putin issued a decree calling the sale of Alaska to the U.S. illegitimate.
Again, move to Russia, if I may. Putin apparently today signed an order declaring a 1983 sale of Alaska to the United States as illegitimate, quote-unquote. Do you have a response to that?
Let me just understand that he signed something today that said the sale of Alaska is illegitimate.
Right.
Well, I think I can speak for all of us in the U.S. government to say that certainly he is not getting it back.
That's a funny line. I give him credit for that. It is a funny line. But so fascinating because it's Russia, 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 Russia. If you disagree with us getting deeper into the war on behalf of an incredibly corrupt man running a corrupt country called Ukraine, well, obviously you're a plant for Vlad Putin. So it's Russia, Russia, Russia until Russia actually says something like this, which is belligerent and obviously trolling us. Last clip. In today's Tower Babbling, fresh off a Canadian court ruling he broke Canadian civil rights laws when he confiscated the bank accounts of truckers who were protesting the COVID hoax lockdowns, Justin Trudeau pretends Tucker Carlson controls Canadian voters.
My very first call this year was with Volodymyr Zelensky. He wanted to know that Canada still stood with him, that Canadians still stood with him. And I told him, yes, we do. The Canadian government and most of the parties in the House will continue to stand with him. But Pierre Poilievre and his conservatives chose to vote against support for Ukraine, calling it a faraway foreign land to appease Putin apologists like Tucker Carlson and those who enable him.
This is the goal of his opponent, is to appease a U.S. TV host. Got it. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
Since we've talked a lot about war today, and I've mentioned the fact that I never served, I will tell a personal observation. Actually, it's kind of a story from the past from which I learned a great deal. There are people who've listened to me for years back when I was doing Seattle radio or filling in for Rush, God rest you, Maha, the podcast. It's been a while. And they did serve, and they will sometimes get frustrated with me. Don't emphasize the fact that you didn't serve. We don't care. Not everyone did. And the reason I communicate that is for context. When I'm talking about war, in my opinion, I think it's important for me to remind everybody, I didn't have myself together enough as a young man to serve. I just couldn't see it. I wasn't ready to put myself under anyone's authority. I was the boss of me. That didn't work, by the way. That didn't work. Absent God, I'm the boss of myself. That didn't work that well. And I tell this story from time to time. My dear brother and I, Matthew, not brother by blood, but it doesn't matter. I feel that way of him. His parents are effectively my godparents. He and I were at Godfather's Pizza once and doing the all-you-can-eat buffet and horrendous amount of food. And sometimes it was pretty gross. So in that particular day, we'd watched a Clint Eastwood movie called Heartbreak Ridge. And in that movie, Clint Eastwood used some colorful language. One phrase in particular, I won't say it on the radio program, that we continued to repeat. And in our conversation, we twisted the phrase and made fun of the phrase. And we compared it to the amount of pizza we were eating. And we had ourselves a good laugh communicating that and mocking some of the other lines in the movie. And just kind of generally making fun of the movie. I like Clint Eastwood. I think he's been great. But that movie was not great. I haven't seen it since then. Maybe I should rewatch it. And we were leaving, walking out. And as I walked down the stairs with this Godfather's Pizza, had a little upstairs section, I noticed a man sitting there in a camouflage jacket eating lunch with what appeared to be his daughter, young daughter. Man was far older than me. The daughter was somewhat younger than me. We came down the stairs, and that man purposely made eye contact with me. And I stopped. I didn't know why, but the eye contact stopped me. And he said, "How are you?" I said, "I'm good." He goes, "I heard you up there talking about," and he used this phrase from the movie, "I heard you up there talking about this." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Did you serve?" "No, sir." He said, "Oh, well, I thought maybe you were a brother and I was going to welcome you home." I was really silent and uncomfortable. And I took from his comments and then looking at his jacket that he did serve, said so on the jacket. I said, "No, sir. Welcome home." He just nodded. He could have said any number of things, such as, "You punk. How dare you? You punks. Do you know what my brother's lost? Do you know what I lost?" But man, it was so much more effective. We never, ever mocked anything to do with that again. Which brings me to this story, which is far happier. Back in the radio days in Seattle, One of the things that the Major League Baseball team did there well was the Mariners let me be involved in a night where we honored military veterans, largely World War II vets, that generation that we're losing, that many of them are going home with God. And there was one man in particular that just will always stick in my mind. We were honoring him. He was in a wheelchair. He'd flown airplanes during the war, and some of those airplanes were basically tin cans with no insulation. He told me that he'd lost more men by freezing to death than getting shot. So we're sitting there visiting, and a gentleman walked up to him, he in his wheelchair, this gentleman with the Mariners who helped organize this event. And he came over and shook that soldier's hand and said to him, "I appreciate you being here. You're a hero. I'm so glad to meet you." And the soldier, the World War II soldier, said to him, his name was William. William said, "Did you serve?" He goes, "Yes, but only in Vietnam. Only in Vietnam." And that soldier, William, World War II veteran, started to stand. So what do you mean, only? And the Mariners employee wouldn't let him stand. He said, no, it's okay. He says, "You are a brother." Now, that's not the full story. The full story is this, that when it came time for William to deliver the game ball, that's what he got to do, the ceremony of the game ball. We'd go out on the field, and we would walk out with him, and here he is in his wheelchair being wheeled out by his son, and he gets to the edge of that field, and his son says, "I'll wheel you out." The man said, "No, I'll walk." He did. I learned later that was the first time he'd walked in many, many years. And he made it to that mound and he handed that ball over and he walked back. And he got to see a Seattle crowd stand in ovation to him and see his picture when he was young. He died 2 weeks later. His son got to send me a note saying, "My dad said, I can finally go." What he said to his son as he was dying was, "They remember me." And so we do. And so we do. And so we remember the three lives lost in their sleep. And I pray to God Almighty that His wisdom will prevail over this White House. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides, you and I can speak again. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.